We started to talk about the comment that Rashi makes in our parsha from the Torah's Kohanim, where Rashi says, "V'chisimchar memkarar la'misecha." When you sell an item, when you buy an item, a person should make sure that they prefer that the buyer or the seller should be a Jew as opposed to others. So let's continue on that theme. There's a lot to talk about. We'll try to get as much in as we can. The Chafetz Chaim writes that when we say that you have an obligation, as Rashi quotes in our parsha, to prefer, to prioritize and sell or buy from a Jew or to a Jew, says the Chafetz Chaim, that is only talking about a case where, let's say, I own the store, and a Jew and a non-Jew come together, and they both want to buy the item. I only have one item. So there, says Rashi, you have an obligation to prefer the Jewish customer over the other customer. However, says the Chafetz Chaim, if I own a store, and somebody comes into the store and says, I would like to buy an air conditioner, I only have one of them, and I say, well, do you happen to be Jewish or not? He says, no, I'm not Jewish. Says the Chafetz Chaim, you don't have to sit and wait around. Maybe a Jewish customer is going to come around later. That's not what we're referring to. Chafetz Chaim says the only time you have an obligation to prefer one over the other is when they both come at the same time and you have to make a choice. But if we're talking about a case where either you have plenty of customers and plenty of merchandise to go around for everyone, or for that matter, he says, you have only one customer who's here now and you don't know that another customer is going to come later. He says a person doesn't have to take the loss of maybe waiting around that someone else is going to come later and purchase the item from you. So that's a very important insight with regard to this halacha as well. The Mishnah Berurah writes in the Shaar HaTzion in Hilchos Dalet Minim, when he talks about the people who have companies that sell, who love him and asrogim, so he says, Tzrichim hasocherim hagadolim leida. Those who buy and who sell, the Dalet Minim have to know, Kishem ezdamin lahem liknos ha'esrogim mishnei mekomos. When you have an opportunity to buy either from a wholesaler who's going to sell you a whole lot of lulavim and asrogim, or if you're just a private person who's going to purchase for yourself, so he says you have to be careful, because if one is going to be a Jew and one is going to be a non-Jew, ushnehem b'inyanei hechsher hem shavim, and with regard to the quality, both of them seem to be pretty similar, yiknu mehay Yisraelim. He says you have to go out of your way to try and give the business to the Jew, as opposed to giving the business to others. So the question is over here, the Chafetz Chaim seems to tell us that we should try to prioritize, and again, he says this is only when you have two customers standing in front of you. But otherwise, if you just have one customer here, you don't have to wait around in order to say that maybe later on someone is going to come and give you the same price for this very item. Chafetz Chaim has yet another chiddush when he talks about this issue, and that is with regard to the following. Let's say you have an item where there is an assumed and accepted market value, either universally or nationally, or amongst all those who are involved in this merchandise, they all know it's accepted. We charge a certain amount of money. Charge $100 for an air conditioner. Everybody agrees this is what we all sell. And now you have the Jew who's coming along and charging $500 for the same item. So says the Chafetz Chaim, if there is a shared market value, an assumed market value that everybody agrees upon, and now you have one person who comes along, let's say he doesn't exaggerate and sell for $500, but he decides he's going to charge $125, says the Chafetz Chaim, I have no obligation to go buy from the Jew when he's going against the market value that everybody assumes to be the market value. Now again, if the market value fluctuates and everyone charges whatever they want and the Jew is going to be a little bit more or a little bit less, so then that's a different story. But says the Chafetz Chaim, when we're talking about where it's so clear, where it's obvious that the Jew is charging something that is an outrageous price or even more than what everybody else assumes to be the price, says the Chafetz Chaim, this whole halacha doesn't apply either. Now that again is a big chiddush, but that's what the Chafetz Chaim assumes when it comes to this issue. So very often in our times, the reason why we choose to purchase from one over the other is simply because of convenience. From our perspective, most of the reason why we buy from a particular store is because I don't want to schlep out to the supermarket that's over there. I have a supermarket right down my block. I don't want to schlep to the shoe store that might be owned by the Jew in Borough Park. I'm interested in buying in the shoe store that's here. Why should I have to go buy from the Jew and schlep and bother myself to travel so far to go and purchase an item from a Jew? So that's generally the reason why most of us buy from particular stores. So the Maram Shik already raises that issue, and he says that the following, Amnam, Mishum Tircha, if the reason why you're not buying by the Jew is simply because of Tircha, you're going to say, why should I schlep? Why should I go so far out of my way? Trichali Milsa Yoser Liknos Me Yisrael Me Eitzel Anachri, he says, it's a big bother for me. It's a pain in the neck for me to go and buy from the Jewish store as opposed to buying from the other store. Lo Shamanu, he says, I've never heard that that's an excuse. I don't think that's a valid excuse. Kivin de al yado yava hanali Yisrael, he says, you have the opportunity now that you're buying an item to go and give pleasure and benefit and a parnasa to a Jew. So what right do you have to say, well, it's a pain in the neck for me to go to that supermarket as opposed to this one? says the Maram Shik, he doesn't think that's a valid excuse, and you have to go ahead and buy from the Jew anyway. Don't worry, we're going to talk about this in a minute. And he ends off, he says, V'chi milsa zutra sahi lehenos v'lahachi yoses Yisrael? Do you think it's a small thing to give a parnasa to a Jew? Do you not realize what a mitzvah is? Like the Rambam said yesterday, v'achazaktavo, that's the greatest mile of tzedakah, that's the greatest level of tzedakah a person can perform, is when you go and you help out another Jew, that he doesn't have to go and ask for others' assistance in his life, in his daily living. Says the Rambam, that's the highest level of tzedakah. And here too, says the Maram Shik, what right do you have? Just because this is a tircha on your body, just because it's a tircha on your time, is that a reason not to buy from the Jew? He doesn't understand, he doesn't think that that is a valid excuse. However, the Maharsham and other Achronim say that is not really the accepted opinion. We take our time very seriously, and not only that, he says, we take our bodies very seriously. We don't assume that I have to schlep and wear myself out to go to the supermarket that's farther away when it's going to be something that is highly inconvenient for you. After all, he quotes the Gemara in Gittin Daf Ayin Aleph, where the Gemara tells us that haderech makhish es haguf, when a person is going to travel and go out of their way, that wears you down at a certain point. You're flying around the world. You're going to do certain things. It's not so simple. You're going to tell me every time I want to buy something, I have to travel to Brooklyn to go to the Jewish-owned stores. That's something that is unreasonable. And even though it might not cost me extra money, but still, it's going to be a tircha, that's a tirchas haguf. And therefore, the Maharsham and others assume that that is also considered a valid reason not to have to go. In fact, the Maharsham says, don't you know, many of us pay more money for the convenience of a certain product, right? Many of us would be willing to pay more money because it's more convenient for us to get it here as opposed to traveling out somewhere else. So he says, don't you see that convenience is worth more to us than our money?
But time is money also.
Time is money also nowadays. So therefore he says, he doesn't assume that the Maharsham is correct. And again, it all has to be done within reason. If it's just a block apart, it's not just a big difference, is one thing. But if you're going to tell the person every time they want to buy an item, they have to go traveling a far distance, or they have to waste all their time, or they have to inconvenience themselves to such an extreme, we would not assume that that is something that a person has to do. So we mentioned yesterday the story with the Rama, and that's really where a lot of this discussion gets started, where the Rama came out with the psak about the printing of the Rambam, where he said that everybody has an obligation to buy the first printing of the Rambam written by the Maharam Padua because you have to prefer the Jewish item over the non-Jewish item. However, he says, there were those who claimed against him that maybe since the other company is selling it at a lower price, maybe that's a reason why I no longer have to buy from the Jew. After all, the Jew is selling it for a more expensive price. Maybe I don't have an obligation to lose money over the job. And the Rama says, no, absolutely not. That's not an excuse. That's hevel, I think he said, what we mentioned yesterday. He says it's hevel avalim to say such a thing. You have to even be willing to spend a certain amount of money in order that you should purchase from the Jew as opposed to the non-Jew. So it's unclear in the Rama, what does he assume the barrier is for that? What's the boundary? How far do I have to go and pay money in order to prefer the item that's owned by the Jew? How much money do I have to be willing to lose? A hefsid meruba? I have to go even if he's charging an exorbitant price, I still have to go buy from him? Or does the Rama just mean, no, if it's an insignificant amount of money, it's just a hefsid muad, it's just a small amount of money, that's the discrepancy between how much the Jew is charging and how much the non-Jew is charging, so then we'll tell you, okay, you have to be willing to suffer the loss, even though it's going to cost you a little bit of money, but that's what you have to do in order to fulfill this obligation that Rashi has in our parsha. That is very unclear, and it's a major discussion in the Achronim, how to understand what the Rama meant. The general assumption that the Chikrei Lev and other Achronim assume, Chikrei Lev was one of the great Gedolim in the 1700s, he was the Rav in Turkey in Izmir, and then later on he moved to Yerushalayim, he became a Dayan in Hebron as well, I think so. The Chikrei Lev has a whole arichus about this, and he says, no, the Rama never meant to say that you have to be willing to give up so much money in order to prefer the item of the Jew. It's all within reason. If the Rama is saying, if the difference between the item of the Jew and the item of the others is going to be a very insignificant amount of money, so then he says you should be willing to give up that amount of money. But the Rama never meant to say that you should be willing to go ahead and spend so much money in order to have the item purchased from the Jew in particular as opposed to the item being bought from the non-Jew. The Rama would not obligate us to go that far.
So would this be congruent with the general principle of chas ha-mamonam shel Yisrael?
So HaTorah chas ha-mamonam shel Yisrael is an interesting concept because it's not so clear. The Gemara does say in a number of places, one of them is Rosh Hashanah, the third parak, the Gemara says, HaTorah chas ha-mamonam shel Yisrael. The Torah goes out of its way to try and have pity on us, that we shouldn't have to spend too much money. And there's a number of Gemaras where we find that. But yet, at the same time, the Gemara also has a principle. Ein aniyus b'makom ashiras, let's say. The Gemara says, when we're talking about Avod and the Beis HaMikdash, so at the same time that we say, HaTorah chas ha'mamon u'sha Yisrael, the Torah also says, you have to go all out and show that you're willing to spend for a mitzvah and you shouldn't hold back. And we have rules and regulations on how much we should or should not spend. So the Nadi Yehuda had a Talmud by the name of the Tshuva Me'ava. His name was Rebbe Lezer Fleklish. He was the Talmud Muvak of the Nadi Yehuda. So he has a Tshuva in the Tshuva Me'ava where he sent to his Rebbe. He collected, I only know this because I gave a shiur on it in the summer. So he collected all of the different places in the Gemara where it says, HaTorah Chasam Amanu Shal Yisrael, where you see that the Torah goes out of its way to save us money. And then he collected all the sugyas where the Gemara seems to say the opposite. Ein aniyus b'makom ashiras, and you should show that you're willing to spend money on mitzvahs, and you should go on the limb for mitzvahs. So he asked his Rebbe, what is the guiding principle? When do we say that you should be careful and you should cut back? And where do we say that perhaps the Torah says you should go all out? And the Nadi Yehuda sent him back some answer, which was basically, where they said it, they said it. Where they didn't, which wasn't really an answer. He was trying to find out, what's the klal? What's the rule? Why did they say it here and why did they not say it there? And the Rebbe Yehuda answered him, well, the answer is because they said it here and they didn't say it there. What kind of answer is that? So he writes back to him, thank you very much, my dear Rebbe, for answering me, but that doesn't really answer the question. Can you come up with some principle of how we figure out where to apply this rule and where do we apply that rule? That's a concept that's not clear at all. From my understanding of that discussion between the Rebbe Yehuda and the Tshuva Me'ava, was not clear at all what the maskana was. What's the answer? And where do we say that the Torah is careful not to make us spend more money than we have to? And where do we say, no, the Torah says you should go all out for a mitzvah, and ein aniyus b'makom ashiras. So that's a very difficult point to fit into the discussion in general. So the basic understanding of the Chafetz Chaim and the Stechem and another Achronim is that the Ramah only meant to say you have an obligation to prefer the item of the Jew if it's going to only cause you a hefsid mut, a small loss of money. So then you have an obligation to go ahead and spend that money. But if a person's going to have to spend so much money, so then we don't assume that way. And I saw Rav Moshe as an Achuva also that way. Rav Moshe assumes, not exactly about this case, but similar to something we were talking about yesterday. The Gemara has in Bab Metzia, we mentioned yesterday that when you have a Jew and a non-Jew who come to borrow money, and you only have a limited source of money that you're able to give them, so both of them want to take a loan. The Jew is willing to take the loan from you, but he's not going to pay interest. You're not allowed to charge him interest. The non-Jew is obviously going to take for a loan from you, and you're going to charge him interest on the loan. So the question is, who should I give the loan to? Who should I prioritize when giving out the money? So the Gemara says you should give the money to the Jew as opposed to the non-Jew. And the Achronim say that means you have to even be willing to take a loss, even though I'm going to lose out all that money of interest by giving the loan to the Jew over the non-Jew. But still, that's what you have to be obligated to do. So Rav Moshe addresses that point. He says, at what point do we say it's unreasonable? I'm giving a guy $1 million loan, and now he's going to pay me a serious amount of interest. Am I mechuyev to take that much of a loss over the fact that that I'm preferring the Jew over the non-Jew? Or do you say, no, there's a limit to how much I'm mechuyev to go? So there also Rav Moshe says, only a hefsed mu'at. But if it's a hefsed merubah, if it's going to cost me an exorbitant amount of money, then Rav Moshe argues you have no obligation at all to give the loan to the Jew when it's at the cost of you losing so much potential gain from the interest you would charge the other customer. So that's, I think, the same idea here that most of the Achronim understand in the Ramah. When we talk about preferring an item that you're going to buy or sell to a Jew over a non-Jew, the Ramah only said we have to prefer it if it's going to be a small loss of money, but not where it's going to cost you an exorbitant amount of money. There we don't assume that this principle applies. One final point that I think is of interest is the following. When we say there's such a thing as a hefsid meruba or a hefsid mu'at, so it's interesting, how do you define what's called a hefsid meruba? Do you look at the overall purchase that I'm going to do? So let's say I'll go to the supermarket. If I would shop in the non-kosher supermarket, each item alone would be an extra 25 cents. Right? I'm sorry. In the kosher supermarket, it would cost me an extra 25 cents. So on each item in itself, you'll say, in a vacuum, this is not a hefsed merubah. It's just 25 cents. But if I look at my whole purchase that I'm buying today for Shabbos, I'm buying all the groceries, so now it's going to cost me an extra $50 if you add everything up. So how do you calculate that loss? Do you say that's a hefsed merubah, or do you say no? Look at each item in particular, and you'll say each item by itself is not really a hefsed at all. So this is something, it's not really discussed here, but Rabbi Kiva Eger has this shaila. Sometimes when it comes to questions in Yerodeah, when we have questions in the kitchen, and something falls into something else, there are certain examples where we find the Ramah will say that when it's a hefsed merubah, when it's going to cost you a lot of money, let's say you have a caterer who's has some sort of kashrus shaila, and it's under those conditions, so then we have a right to say under very specific circumstances that hefsed merubah, you have a right to be mekel. So Rabbi Akiva Eiger has the suffix, how do you calculate hefse merubah? Every piece of chicken is only costing you an extra dollar to buy a new piece of chicken. If you look at the overall perspective of what just became treif in the catering house, so you'll say, what do you mean? It's going to cost me $5,000. Now I have to buy all the chickens again. So Rabbi Akiva Eiger has that suffix. Do you say, we look at each individual piece by itself and say, that's not a hefse merubah? Or do you say, no, we have to look at the overall perspective and look, how much money am I going to lose in general, if I am makel on the shaila, where I'm going to be machmir on the shaila? So I think that's something to think about here also. When the Rashi quotes this idea in our parsha that you should prefer the Jew over the non-Jew, and the Ramah says that you should do it even at a loss of a hefsed muat, like most achronim understand, at what point do we say, well, you look at the item itself, and therefore it's not really a hefsed merubah, or do we say you look at the overall purchase, and everything that I'm going to buy in the supermarket today is going to be a hefsed merubah? My father always likes to point out that hefsed merubah also depends on the person. If you're a multimillionaire, then you can't say that 50 extra dollars in the supermarket is hefsed merubah. If you're just a person who doesn't have so much money, so then, again, that's a very subjective term to figure out what is considered a hefsed merubah and what might not be. So, Mirtz Hashem, tomorrow we'll continue a little more with this, but the Achronim have a lot to say about this particular issue and how do we balance, how do we figure out when it's considered a reasonable loss that we should assume a person should be able to incur, and when do we say, no, that's something that is way beyond my reach, it's something that's way beyond what I'm expected to do, and it's not what the Ramah ever intended to say we have an obligation to do at all.